Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Venture Fuel Visionaries podcast. I am your host, Fred Schonenberg, and I'm thrilled to share this conversation that I had with Tove Chevalier. Tove is the head of Electrolux's Innovation Hub, where she leads an international team that challenges conventional thinking around the way we cook, eat, care for our clothes, and the well-being of our homes, all for a better and more sustainable future. Tove is responsible for Electrolux's future outlook, their innovation strategy, and incubation of new products, services, and their business model. For anyone that doesn't know, Electrolux is a leading global appliance company. With brands like Electrolux, AEG, and Frigidaire, they sell approximately 60 million household products in approximately 120 markets every year, sales of $116 billion, and they employ 48,000 people around the world. Today, we talk with Tove about why people love transformation but hate change, how to walk from the future back to the present, and then we dive into specifics around GROW, which is Electrolux's big initiative around redesigning the concept of what a kitchen is and how it becomes an enabler of a more sustainable food ecosystem. Please enjoy. Well, Tope, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So can you talk a little bit about how you became an innovator, sort of what led you to this part of your career and your passion for sustainability?
I think my journey is, I guess it's still ongoing. So let's see where we take this one. But I think my journey, I started in marketing and brand, which I've always loved, but I always felt there was something missing. And I think it was the creation part that I really, really love about innovation and being that problem solver. So I always throughout my life, and since I was a kid and as long as I can remember, I've always been the problem solvers. So coming into the world of marketing and brand was a fantastic school to understand, you know, how you make a message come across and how you build that out. So I started my career with Adidas. So of course, basketball and running is core to me as well. But then when I came to Electrolux, I think that's when the whole sustainability angle really opened up for me. So innovation started at Adidas and then came to Electrolux, where we have sustainability, you know, built into who we are. It's not just because it is a pressing issue right now. It is part of who we are. And that's really opened my eyes, and working with our fantastic research team here and understanding the core impact of what we do, how we eat and how we take care of our clothes, that can, I must say, on a personal level has changed me. And that's where that came from.
It's so interesting. My background also was marketing into innovation, and I loved marketing. It awakened parts of me professionally that for the first time where I was really enthusiastic and excited about the creativity, but I had that same sort of feeling of maybe there was something more or additional. Yeah. And innovation does spark that sort of the creation piece of it and making something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You mentioned sustainability, and as I was doing research for this, I noticed on your LinkedIn, you're talking about there are projects, and then this is the project, right? Like this is the big challenge we're all going after. Can you talk a little bit about GROW and maybe the inspiration for GROW and your place in that from Electrolux?
Yes, very much. So the background to GROW is that 4 years ago, we set out new 2030 targets for the company. And one of those targets was to make sustainable eating the preferred choice, which is for me a fantastic target for as an appliance company to understand, you know, how do we move people and how do we make sure that you know, healthy and sustainable eating is what everyone preferred. Now, the challenge, of course, was that for our designers and engineers, it's really, really hard to understand what role can they play and what role should Electrolux have aim to make healthy and sustainable eating the preferred choice. So that's where we started with Grow, and really kind of where we realized we need to visualize much better, you know, what is our North Star? Where do we want to go with this? And make that much more contextualized. Because as you know, working with innovation, you have problems, but you need to visualize where you're going to go. How you get there, that's a different story. But when you, as soon as you start to visualize where what's the end state, then it becomes much, much clearer. And it's much clearer for my engineers and my my researchers and my designers to understand what are the core problems they need to solve. So that's kind of the background to this, what we call, you know, the project of all projects, is to kind of paint this Northern Star or the vision of the future that we want to create. So that's the background to it. And then we spent 4 to 5 months really listening to science. What is healthy and sustainable eating? We spoke to chefs. We spoke to lead users. So people who already cook and eat healthy and sustainable today. What do they do? What are the, you know, barriers they have? We also did a lot of research into people today. You know, why are they not eating healthy today? What can we do as a home brand to really help that? And that, for me, as I said, both from a professional but also from a company perspective, it has changed us. It not only painted the picture of where we want to go, but as we brought people along with us on this journey, both internally and externally, it opened so many people's eyes and ears to what healthy and sustainable eating is. So I'm not kidding you when I'm saying that half of my team is now vegan or vegetarian because of this research, because of this project, because we realize how daunting this problem is and how we need to make this happen. So in essence, Grow is the kitchen of the future, is telling us the story of how do we enable people and nudge people towards healthier, sustainable eating at whatever their starting point is. Because the whole story of healthy and sustainable, it's not about pointing fingers. It's not about, you know, telling someone's bad and someone's good. It's rather saying that this is a journey for all of us, and all of us can take incremental and small steps towards a better future. And what if we can use your kitchen, your data, and nudge you towards that? If you are a, you know, Texas loving barbecue guy that really, you know, love that, but maybe we can help you to minimize your food waste. And if you do eat meat, make sure that you eat the best meat. Or if you are a vegetarian who really wants to take the next step to become vegan, but you feel that that's too hard, you know, what can we do to help you to make those steps? Well, we know what you cook at home. We know the food you have at home, and we know the food you often throw away. And how can we use that data to, you know, healthy nudge you towards better and more sustainable decisions? So that's Grow in a nutshell.
I think it's so, I mean, obviously it's an amazing North Star. It's so interesting as a North Star in that, as you mentioned right up top, about an appliance company, thinking about how can they make this change in their consumers, using data, using sensors, behavioral science, all the things that you guys incorporated. Mm-hmm. It must have been such a large undertaking. Can you talk about maybe some of the internal resources you had to pull on to do this, as well as some of the external? And you talked to some of the, you know, chefs and whatnot, but maybe more on the, like, the startups or technology side of things.
Yeah. Yes, it was definitely a journey. And we, if I'm being honest, and that's for all innovation projects, right, is that you don't really know what you're embarking on until you're in the middle of it. So we started off with a smaller research team internally. And I think that was in core to me, that to ensure that we had a mix of internal and external resources. External resources can help us to drive faster, but the ownership needs to sit internally. We need to feel that the DNA of this project, the DNA of what comes out of this, needs to be ours. So, and I think that's core to all the innovation projects that we do today, is that we do a lot of the research, a lot of the testing ourselves. We source out some of the testing, but a lot of it we do ourselves, because we feel that we need to know this. This is our babies, and therefore we do it. So we had a small research team that led through kind of the understand phase of understanding, as I said, working with science. So we worked a lot, and we do work a lot today with WWF. We work with the Eat Lancet report, for example, that outlines what a healthy and sustainable diet is in the coming decades. So science was crucial for us in this kind of first understand phase. So as soon as we got a grip on like, what is the problem we're actually solving, we moved in, of course, into much of a creation phase of kind of what, if we understand now the problem and the barriers that consumers have to become this, what could be the creative solution for this? And here we brought in a myriad of external partners, such as, you know, food waste startups, vegan startups. We talked a lot about the alternative meat industry, but we also continued to work with lead science and lead users. So we formed different kind of advisory boards to us where we both creatively worked together, but also came to them and presented and pitched ideas to them that they were allowed to then come back to us and kind of pull apart a little bit. So that phase of the project was both really, really exciting, but also painful. Because, you know, when you're in that phase of innovation where you don't really know what this is and you don't really know what is going, but you know you have something. So we spend a lot of hours here in the basement of Electrolux, you know, in the middle of the night, pondering and wondering where this is going to lead, you know, will we come to something? But today, looking back, I really cherish that moment with the team and where we, and I think back to innovation, like where we worked as one team. And that has also fundamentally come to believe in me that we have innovators that can work alone, but we as innovator in innovation and make sure that comes alive, we need to work together. So yes, it is a project that has really kind of, you know, flavored the way we work today a lot in the company.
I think it's so interesting when you look back at an innovation or a huge project, big success like this, and you see the path and you're like, oh, wow, that was such a beautiful program. And it shows up nicely in obviously the beautiful videos you all have created, but in the story. And then when you actually, as the person that did it, you go back and you're like, wow, that was messy, right? Like there was all these things that we had to learn before we could see what seems obvious now. Yeah. And it's a fun and frustrating process all at once.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as you said, it's a crucial point. And what I learned a lot is that some people thrive in this. People really love this uncertainty and where you don't know where it is. And some people absolutely hate it. Yep. And I think that's okay because we are fundamentally different. And what we learned a lot about ourselves as a team, as a company, is that how do we structure our resources so we use them well? Because, you know, I if I'm being honest here, you know, of course, we were in moments in this project where people were quite upset and we didn't know where this was going to go. And people felt that was quite uncomfortable. And that's a big learning for how we structure innovation projects now, is that we understand that some personalities and some functions, they do their absolutely best in this certainty, and some functions do their best work later on in the project when we need to scale and we need to drive this out. And that's also an important learning in innovation, that all these different people are needed and you're equally important. It's just that you're important in different phases of the project.
Yeah, that's incredibly interesting. I've read in multiple places this sort of idea of being comfortable in discomfort, and you know, it really is personality based and skill based. And you're right; each part of this is so important, but it's how the pieces fit together when they fit together.
Yeah,
and maybe and you can use Grow or any example you'd like. I would love to maybe take one step back and learn a little bit more about the Electrolux Innovation Hub and how you make these pieces work together, just from like a high level, if you could talk a little bit about how you work within the organization.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you that's a journey too. It's not a static thing. And I think that was my interesting coming in from another big corporation that works very, very different. I got the ask coming into Electrolux that we need to be more future oriented. Can you set up an incubation hub for us? Yes, absolutely. I know how to do this. And then came into the company and, you know, learning by doing, realized quite quickly that this is A, not what the company needs. B, this is not what the operating system is asking for, actually. It's just that the company thought and how they formulate themselves, that's what they thought they needed. So what we quickly realized that, and what we needed to do based on these new targets, both business and sustainability targets, we needed to set that innovation strategy first. Yep. just to be four, because that's I think a pitfall that a lot of us fall into sometimes is the love to innovate for the innovation's sake. But if you don't know why you're innovating or what you want to drive towards, of course, that's when innovation dies and it becomes this innovation theater. So yes. I think that's also, you know, I have a lot of mental bruises I can talk about and how I learned this. But I think that was my first kind of 6 months into Electrolux and understanding what is it the company actually is asking for.
It's funny, in the seat that we have, we get to see companies at all different parts of this journey, large organizations, and so many start with that innovation theater. We call it the innovation petting zoo. You know, let's go to Silicon Valley and see five startups, or let's go to Israel and see, you know, five startups. Yes. And it's like, oh my goodness, like, sure, we can do that. But you got to start with that strategy piece. Like, what's the problem you're trying to solve? Where are you trying to go? And then let's reverse engineer what is going to make sense based on who you are, where you are, what you're trying to accomplish. And it usually takes a couple fits and starts before you get back to that moment.
Yeah. And I think here a big learning and what we use a lot is the dual transformation kind of mental model, and how you sometimes you need to make that innovation theater because you want to excite people. You want to get that momentum and inspire. But at the same time, you need to walk from the future and back, and like how you go into the future. And then, as you said, and reverse engineer. And I think it's important that it's not either or. Sometimes you need to do them both, and you need to have that kind of ear to the ground and kind of understand what is it that the company needs right now. And maybe it's not what you believe, but, you know, maybe, you know, listen down. So coming back to the Innovation Hub, we started off thinking that we're going to be an incubator. What we are today in our mission is to help our business and our business areas to, you know, explore and validate sustainable areas of growth. That's kind of the overall mission that we have. And we do that in four different areas. So we do the foresight within the company. We look into from a 10-year perspective, you know, what is the type of value that we should drive? Where and to whom should we drive that value? And how do people attain that value? So from a very business perspective. And I think that's very important for us as an innovation hub, that we are not something that sits on the side of the company, but we have one leg in our current business and one leg in reality. And that gives us the confidence, but also the connection with our business owners, that I know their business as good as they do, which means that I can have a strategic conversation in the present with them, but I can also take them into the future. So foresight is one. And then what we do after that is, of course, then we build the innovation strategy. And we work there in a network based, is that I don't own the innovation strategy, but I develop it together with our three business areas of taste, which is food. And we have care, which is coding care. And we have well-being, which is the well-being of the home. So I work with those business areas, and I have innovation leads that work strategically with them to build that strategy, which includes where do we want to be in 10 years' time, and then what does the innovation portfolio look like to take us there. The third leg then, of course, is incubation, because only then, once we know the innovation strategy, we can start to explore and validate those future areas of growth. And then the interesting and last leg that we have is, which I think is a very, very important one, is to build, you know, what are the methods, tools, process, governance, funding for innovation that we work with across the company. So there we don't only work with future back, but we actually work with the present, and how do we push the core innovations that we have today forward in a different way.
I love it. It's so interesting. I love that one foot in the present, one foot in the future. And to your point about, you know, sort of the need for innovation theater sometimes, it's interesting sometimes to get people to think what's possible. It's very effective. Mm-hmm. And then you tie it back to the strategy and build the roadmap from there.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges maybe that you've overcome internally to innovation? Because we often find that there's a lot of enthusiasm at the start. And you say, hey, a lot of this is going to fail. We're going to learn as we go. And then once you rack up a few of those failures, the intensity goes up a little bit on delivering some quick wins. So just curious from your side, maybe thinking back to as you started, how do you build this trust in the organization and momentum, and maybe some things you've overcome in the past?
Yeah, definitely. And here comes my mental bruises again, where I learned for doing a lot of mistakes. And, you know, I think it's important to be honest about them, where I still do, you know, I'm still very, you know, I hear from my managers a lot of times that I'm too fast. I want to run too fast, which is part of my job. I need to be fast and I need to push them. But of course, that was my biggest learning in the beginning, is that I ran way ahead of them. I was, you know, 2 years ahead of where the company, you know, were ready to be, which I had to learn maybe the hard way, by, you know, being falling down and then standing up again. That was my kind of biggest learning in the beginning, and kind of the hurdle that I needed to overcome is to understand that, you know, the company cannot always run as fast as I want it to run. And I need to be able to pace myself and understand strategically. And it's a little bit of the market fit when you work with innovation. You know, you have a great solution, but is the market ready for it or not? Here's the same thing. I have a solution, but am I sure that the organization is ready for it? And I think here, that's something that I learned over time, is that a lot of times I have a belief of where I think we should go, but a lot of times the company is not ready for it, and I need to test it, and I need to test it in a lot of different ways around the organization to see what sticks. So I think that's someone in my team said that a lot of things that we do is like a good pop song. When we are really, really tired of it, then that's when it starts to stick. And I think that's kind of something that we need to understand, that a lot of times we talk about innovation and corporate, you know, innovation, that it should be fast, it should be agile, it should be something that you do very quick. It's not. It's something that requires grit, stubbornness, you know, have, you know, your eyes on the end goal, and understand that you need to fall down and you need to, you know, walk into corners a couple of times and don't give up. I think that's the key, right? And then, yes, when you work with innovation, you test and explore new ideas, then you work quickly. But when it comes to transformation, and because we're moving it, I'm moving a tanker, I'm not moving a speedboat. Yeah. And I need to be realistic in that. So those are the couple of barriers, me personally, that I needed to overcome to understand, you know, what is the context that I'm working on. Then, of course, there's a lot of stakeholder management. There's a lot of coffee drinking. There's a lot of relationship building, understanding, you know, who has the official power and who is the unofficial power holders. How can I work with them? How can we become one team? We worked a lot with the culture internally at Electrolux and ensuring that, you know, we move towards a very inclusive culture, which I think has been such a fantastic journey from where we were 5 years ago. It's, so a lot of barriers.
I love it. And I think on the speedboat reference, I heard on our show, Pedro Earp, who was the CMO at AB InBev and the head of CX Ventures, equated it to, you need to send out the speedboats first to kind of explore out ahead. And then when you find where you want to go, they have to all come back and like yell up to the oil tanker and be like, hey guys, we're going this way. Like, we've already seen it, like avoid the storm, let's all go. And it's still, exactly. You got to kind of move them all back that way.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to use that one.
Along those lines, I wonder, what advice would you give to a similar large organization that maybe is back at the beginning of this journey, that's saying, hey, you know, we need to become more sustainable, or we feel disruption is around, or even, you know, this is one I got recently, is we were the innovators and our company got here because of our innovation, but that last innovation was 20 years ago. And we know we need to reinvent, we need to find the next, that thing. Mm-hmm. How would you advise them on the beginning of this journey? Just any thoughts on that would be really interesting. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And I think the multiple long and short answer to that question, I think one of the key ones is, of course, to take a strong look both in the mirror and understand who are you as a company today. I think it's very important to do a thorough retrospect and understand what got us here, as you said. And then look forward and said, okay, based on that, what are the problems that we want to solve going forward? And what are the gaps to enable us to do so? A lot of times I see, both in my teams, but also within this company still, but other companies, that you very, very quickly, which is a human factor, you want to come to the solution. You want to come to the idea of what this is. Hence, I got the question, can you make an incubator for us? Because that's what they believed. They looked around and externally and they saw that Lala had incubators. Okay, we need one too, because we need to become more innovative. I think what you need to do is to take a hard look at yourself first and say, okay, this is who I am today. And this is who we are as a company. Who do we want to be in the future? What does the future look like? And what are the types of solutions and products that we believe that can solve these challenges that we want to focus on, and stay there for a little while before you come to what is the solution that we need? What is the medicine we need? Don't jump to the medicine too quickly. I think that's, it's a human factor. We want to do it. We want to solve the problem very quickly, but are you sure that you're solving the right problem? So it's the normal innovation, you know, don't fall in love with the solution, fall in love with the problem. And I think that a lot of time is a challenge for a lot of us to do.
I think it's so interesting to think of it as humans, right? It's the, give me the medicine to fix it now. Like, I've got other things to do. This is interesting, but like, let's get the solution today. And it's like, well, wait a second, you need to change your diet. You need to do all these hard things that will actually drive transformation rather than the Band-Aid.
Exactly. And it's the story and metaphor, of course, of everyone loves transformation. Everyone hates change. It's the same thing. You know, we want to talk about where we want to be, but no one wants to talk about that we need to change our diet. You need to start exercising. Maybe you need to change, you know, your setup and your context. And those are hard questions. And, you know, you need to be secure. And that's another topic that we talk about a lot, is this psychological safety and the need to have that trust within the team to say, I truly disagree with you. I think we should move in a different direction, and have that argument and disagreement, but you're still friends and you're still colleagues because we are on the same mission here and we trust each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's fundamental into this.
I'll let you leave on this. You know, you're looking 10 years out into the future, obviously not sharing anything you're not allowed to. I'm curious, is what's next in your mind? Are there things that you're really excited about, whether that's related to the company or just in general from a innovation technology standpoint? What gets you excited at this moment?
I think we live in a very interesting time right now where there's a lot of insecurity, where we have not only climate change to tackle, but we have geopolitical uncertainty, we have economical uncertainty, and there's a lot of skepticism, polarization, and frustration around companies and people. And that's frustrating and it's hard. I think what gives me hope and what gives me, you know, an optimistic look of the future is that people is starting to change and people are starting to demand, you know, even if it's still small pockets, but you can see people standing up now and demanding change. I think that gives me hope and trust in the future. I think that's the key, right, that I see. I work so much with behavioral change. We work so much with the human part of sustainability and how we make the world more sustainable from a people, from a planet, and a profitability perspective. And I think that gives me hope. And what excites me really much is about how we become and how we drive toward more resilient homes, and how we become even better working across industries and talk to each other and solving the right problems instead of the superficial problems. I think that's what excites me, but also, of course, that keeps me up at night.
Usually those tend to be the same things. The things that excite you and keep you up at night are the ones worth worrying about.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share your journey with us. It's been great to learn from you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I enjoyed the conversation with Tove. For more on innovation, sustainability, driving transformation and change, just go to Venture Fuel on LinkedIn. You can find out about all of our upcoming episodes and events. And of course, if you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends or leave a review. Until next time.